And if I could ask Mr. Bruce Malone to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance tonight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, if you can take attendance.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Petrillo.
I had just checked with a couple of people on the agenda for today, and I do not have the amended agenda. Could I have a print of that, please?
I'm sure we can get that for you.
I would also need one as well.
Sure. I would like to go ahead just to save time to go forward with some of the awards and proclamations before we do have one speaker this evening. And I could first begin with the 2017 Edwardsville High School Varsity Track Team, the Illinois 3A State Champions. And I'd like to invite the coaches, Lakatos and Patrilak, to the front with some of the athletes. And I'm going to give the coaches an opportunity to talk here. Resolution honoring Edwardsville High School Class 3A State Track and Field Champions. Whereas on May 27, 2017, the Edwardsville High School Boys Track and Field Team competed in the Illinois High School Association State Track and Field Championships in Charleston, Illinois. And whereas the team led by seniors Travis Anderson and A.J. Epinesa won their second Class 3A state meet in 3 years with 42 points, and whereas Travis, who earned 20 points, defended his title in the 110-meter hurdles with a time of 13.79 seconds and the 300-meter hurdles with a time of 37.83, and whereas Epinesa defended his title by throwing the discus 197 feet 11 inches,
correct?
And whereas the team had 13 entries in 10 events, and seniors Matt Grebe took third place in the 300-meter hurdles, and Devontae Tincher placed fifth in the 200-meter dash. And whereas other individual state qualifiers were senior Justin White, juniors Blake Neville and Frankie Romano, and sophomore Roland Prinsler, and whereas the Madison County Board recognizes the track and field team and coach Chad Lakatos and George Patrilak for their hard work and commitment, which brought the school and community this honor. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the County Board of Madison County, Illinois, that it hereby recognizes Edwardsville High School for the outstanding track season and for winning the Illinois State Track and Field Championship, adopted this 21st day of June 2017. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? I'd like to invite Coach Lakatos to say a few words.
Coach.
One of my coaches asked me, are we getting punished for winning a state championship, getting recognized by various boards, but we do appreciate it. Kurt Prinsler, Madison County Board, thank you for having us here to recognize our kids. This is our third time getting recognized, and this is the least amount of coaches and kids we've had, but the most people that we've had that have been in front of us. So anyway, it was a great experience for us, great for the community and for our school district. This is Coach Patrilak. He's our distance coach, and he did have two state qualifiers in the 3,200-meter run. It's actually Kurt's son, Roland Prinsler, and then Frankie Romano qualified in the 800-meter run. Two athletes present, Matt Swanson. He was an alternate for the 4x200 relay. He's just a junior, so he'll be coming back. And then Jason Queen is a senior. He's heading to Northern Illinois. He was an alternate on the 4x200 relay. So anyway, I just want to thank you for the opportunity, and this will definitely be hanging in the trophy case at the high school, and thank you again.
Next, I would like to invite County Board Member Doc Holliday to come forward and he will read a proclamation for the 180th anniversary of the Union Baptist Church.
Would all of you come down, please? This proclamation reads thus: Union Baptist Church 180th anniversary. Whereas Union Baptist Church is commemorating its 180th anniversary in celebrating its founding by freed slaves, and whereas the freed slaves, with the help of white parishioners from First Baptist Church in Alton, organized into the African Mission Freedman, which led to the founding of African American Baptist Church in 1837. The same year the city of Alton organized. Whereas the Reverend John Livingston served as the first pastor of the church, and parishioners met in homes until Daniel Reyes donated land at the corner of George and 7th Street, where the first structure was built, and whereas in 1854, the church constructed a two-story frame building that served as a house of worship and the first African-American school in Alton. And whereas the lack of finances forced the church to sell its property, and in 1902, Alton Mayor Edmund Beale gave the church land where it erected its current building at 320 East 7th Street. And whereas there were 31 pastors and assistant pastors to serve the church until 1999, when the Reverend Kelvin D. Ellison Sr. took over. And under his leadership, the first female minister, the Reverend Joyce Elliott, was ordained and the Faith Bible Institute implemented. And whereas, as members of Union Baptist Church continue to work to strengthen and build the church and touch the lives of its parishioners while assisting members of the community with various programs and services, and now therefore be it resolved that the County Board of the County of Madison, Illinois, hereby commemorates the 180th anniversary of Union Baptist Church and offers congratulations in this important milestone. Adopted this 21st day of June, 2017, Kurt Prinzer, Chairman, Madison County Board.
All in favor of this proclamation, signify by aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed?
We have a picture if everyone can kind of scoot in together here.
We just want to say to this board, thank you for recognizing us and as being one of the oldest African-American churches in the state of Illinois. We just pray and continue that we can continue to do the good things in the community and keep raising hope for people all over, that we can become one in this community and make this community the best community that we can. Again, thank you.
And now for, I know what everyone is here for this evening, and that is I would ask former County Board Member Helen Hawkins and her family to come forward. And I'll begin reading because there's so much to read. The epitome of an outstanding public servant, Helen M. Hawkins, an active member of St. Elizabeth Church, hardworking, no-nonsense person with a strong voice, did not enroll in Namioke Township or Madison County Pension Plan as most officials do for retired receptionist for Dr. Hubert Hawkins, retired special education teacher's aide with Granite City School District No. 9, member of the LCETS No. 573, member of AMVETS Post 51, member of the American Legion Auxiliary Post 113, United Steelworkers, SOAR, Steelworkers Organization of Active Retirees, and I'm not even half done. Lifetime volunteer with the community to save the vanishing wetlands, member of Pontoon Beach and Choteau Township Senior Citizen Clubs, married to Hubert Hawkins, deceased. Together they have two adopted children, five grandchildren, and one great-grandson. Currently serving on the recently serving on the Madison County Board, District 16. Currently serving as town clerk for Namioke Township, former Namioke Township trustee and health inspector. I don't think I have enough breath to finish this here. First woman ever to be elected from Namioke Township, elected precinct committee person, inspector, trustee, clerk, and county board member. Awards include Illinois Coalition for Public Honesty, recipient of the Namioke Township Certificate of Appreciation, two awards, the Kimmel Community Service Award, Outstanding Service Award from South Roxana for the time and dedication given to the betterment of Wanda Cemetery, recognition certificate for the acquisition of a motor vehicle for Wanda Cemetery, recognition certificate for the acquisition of $5,000 to purchase a new lawnmower for Wanda Cemetery, the Mitchell Fire Department recognition for a lifetime of community commitment, and League of Women Voters, Helen Hawkins. I know, you may sit down. I know Helen can talk, so I'm going to invite Helen to talk. Also, this is very heavy, so I'm going to hold this for Helen.
Thank you.
And you can introduce your guests.
Oh, yes. This is my daughter,
speak.
Deborah Ehler, and this is my grandson, Gabe Ehler, and my granddaughter, Heidi, who works for the City of St. Louis. My son, who's a doctor, could not be here tonight because he couldn't change his patients around. He would have loved to be here. I'd just like to say what a pleasure being on the county board, knowing all of you and working together as a team. Regardless of what our party has been, we have got so much done together by working together. And I know that will continue. No one gets things done by themselves. And we're still going. One of the most recent things is a generator, which our community development has figured out alone. You know, we live in the Madison County floodplain, and we have many problems there. So it goes on. This thing was badly needed where our grant was froze. Our chairman here found a way for a loan. As other chairman, I started out with Rudy Papa. I worked with Alan Dunston, and now with Kirk Prinsler. It's been a pleasure. We've got so much done by working together. And I just want to say I'm very proud that you put me on the Madison County, MESE. We've got some very serious problems there. It was just brought to our attention recently. Brakes. It's a long time coming. It's a very, very serious matter there. One of our big jobs is protecting us from flood. Little did I know after Katrina, when I got to our congressman and asked if our levees were safe. And then we found out they were not. And this county board figured out a way for funding to get those fixed. They're again working together. And we still have some very serious problems there, but we're all working very hard to solve the big problem that you'll be reading about that faces the city of Madison. So I thank you so much for putting me where I feel I am the most needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. I'd like to read this. It says Helen Hawkins, Madison County Board Member, 2002 to 2017, in appreciation of your commitment and dedicated service to the citizens of Madison County. And I want to let everyone know, if you've got a drainage problem, you can still call Helen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, we need a picture. Come on back.
Okay. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you.
Here, let's give you the box too. Oh, and that's heavy. That's heavy. Now, should we do the speaker?
Do we have Ann Werner here as a public speaker?
Yes.
Mrs. Werner, if you could, you can please begin to come down to the front, to the podium. And the rules are you have to, don't rush. The rules are that you may only speak 3 minutes, and then I will, if you're at the two and a half minute mark, I'm going to hit the gavel, okay? And the podium is right over here. And you may leave those notes with us to enter into the record if you choose.
Judy wants to talk about...
Can I start now? Okay. I'm here today to propose a use for the Plum Street property. The transfer of this property from Madison County to the city of Edwardsville was on the May agenda but was not discussed at that meeting. The agenda said that the property had been determined to be excess property and no longer of use to the people of Madison County. The Plum Street property is not excess property. What was once a railroad yard has become a very valuable and visible piece of property. I have driven by it hundreds of times and thought it was already part of the MCT bike trail system and was surprised to find that it was not. The Plum Street property should be preserved as a green space and also made part of the MCT bike trail system. Here are three reasons why. Flood control. Every time a piece of property in the county is converted from woods or grassland to buildings and impermeable asphalt, the potential for flash flooding and flooding increases. The amount of runoff from an impermeable asphalt is 10 to 20 times greater than that from a grassy lot. Up to 95% of the rain that falls on a wooded lot stays there, soaking into the ground and recharging the groundwater system. Up to 100% of the rain that falls on a saturated asphalt parking lot flows off and immediately enters the stormwater drainage system. Number two, financial potential. The MCT bike trail system and parks and green spaces, such as the Plum Street property, are potential gold mines. Here are two examples. Every weekend, the real estate section of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch has an article about the latest housing condominium development, highlighting that they are near parks and trails. People want green space and trails. They want places for the kids to play and ride their bikes. People are willing to pay more to live near green spaces and trails. What about the Madison County Marathon, Biathlon, and the MCT Bike Trail Challenge? They don't exist now, but they could in the future, potentially attracting thousands of participants and tourists to the county where they will spend time and money at Madison County businesses. Number three, quality of life, the most important reason. This isn't the 1860s. The West was won a long time ago. We can now stop cutting down trees and clearing the land. This is not the middle of the 20th century either. Cars are no longer the key to freedom and happiness. We need to start thinking about the 22nd century. We need to look at the land that is already developed and start using it more efficiently instead of gobbling and sprawling all over what little open space we have left. We need to change our development paradigm from one of quantity to quality. Madison County has some wonderful cities and towns that still maintain their character and uniqueness. Left unchecked, sprawl will annihilate these communities. We need green space and open land to ensure the integrity of each town. We do not need an unending ribbon of businesses and strip malls along 159 or other major roads connecting these communities. Finally, no one regrets that New York City established Central Park 160 years ago. No one regrets that the city of St. Louis established Forest Park 141 years ago. And I guarantee that no one will regret it if you all preserve the Plum Street property by keeping it a green space and incorporating it into the MCT trail system. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Werner. You may also leave your notes if you choose to be entered into the record with Madam Clerk here. And then I'll entertain a motion to approve the May 17th minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes have been approved. And if we can then move into the appointments, we have 9 appointments this evening. Actually, one resolution and two, and we have them numbered in various ways here. Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Ms. Novosich? Yes, thank you. I would like to separate out numbers 1, 3, and 4, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other appointments that would like to be discussed independently? Okay, so we have appointments 2, 5, 6, A and B, 7, 8, and 9. All in favor?
If I could ask for a motion
to approve those.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, let's go on to number 1. This would be the resolution for the appointment of Joe Dotterman to the Acting Chief of Madison County Assessment. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I would like to see this resolution be moved to a 4-year term.
I don't believe you can do that. It's my appointment, and what is up for discussion is 60 days. So this resolution.
Question. I make a motion to amend it to a 4-year term instead of 60 days.
It's not amendable.
That. Legal opinion?
Well,
okay. If you're calling for a vote in a resolution, the members can move to amend it. You're asking them to pass a resolution on an appointment, but that'll be up to the membership.
We have a second.
Don't we have to actually get this on the floor before we start amending it?
Yeah, I think we do. I will entertain a motion to put the resolution on the floor.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. So it's on the floor for discussion.
Now, that was just to get this onto the floor, not
yes.
The amendment.
Okay. Yes.
And so now I'll make the amendment to amend this resolution to a 4-year term.
It's my opinion that this is a this is an appointment, and therefore, it's an appointment for 60 days, and so it's my appointment to make, and that's all I'm
suggesting. We have a motion. We have a second.
And we have a legal opinion.
I disagree, so.
You disagree with
the law means nothing
with the
I guess.
Board? I don't understand. We have a motion. We have a second. It's legal.
The amendment is the time frame, Mr. Chairman. It's not anything to do with anything else. It's the time frame. That's the amendment that a motion was made on and seconded.
You've recommended, and we think it's a great recommendation.
Absolutely.
We just want to extend it.
It's so great. We want.
If we're going to vote on this, I would highly advise to vote no on the amendment. Kurt wants it 60 days. He's the chairman. So if you want to move forward with it on that, I'd highly recommend
against
it. I don't think it's a proper amendment. Yes,
well,
Mr. Chairman.
Well, I would suggest that since it was motioned and seconded, and those that think that Joe Dotterman has done an outstanding job would like to see him there longer than 60 days and it continue for 4 years. Thank you.
On this piece of paper, it's black and white, and it says, so that, where's the 60-day part? I mean, maybe you have it somewhere, and I don't see it.
It says allows for the 60-day appointment.
The third whereas down, Mr. Chapman.
Chairman, if I might add, the statute specifically allows the appointment of the chief county assessment official for 60 days, and it's appointment by the chairman.
It also allows for us to amend that motion.
Nowhere in the statute does it say that. It says 60 days.
Well, I'd like to know where you get your law degree over Mr. Gibbons.
I believe that anything can be amended as long as it falls within the provisions of the county constitution. And time frames are on appointments are up to whoever.
Ms. Champoli, did you have something to say?
I don't think I was finished, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry. I just didn't want her to be left behind.
So anyway, I think that the board does have the right to make motions, make amendments, and have them voted on. Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Champoli.
Yes. My question is, if you do a 60-day retrospect to May 16th, then wouldn't that 60 days be up July 16th and therefore before our prior board meeting? And
that's correct.
And then what are we going to do at that point?
We're going to be appointing an assessor at the supervisor of assessment at the next county board meeting in July. So there may be a gap there.
And then that puts us in the same position why we have to go retrograde now to protect the county, correct?
I believe that's correct.
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah, that's right.
This is all because people keep losing jobs and get put places that Mr. Prinsler chooses to put them because he's just wanting to do what he wants to do. And that's his agenda. It's not about what kind of job Mr. Dodderman has done to him. It's about having somebody else in that position. And right now, he doesn't have anyone that's qualified for that position.
Mr. Parkinson, if I could respond to that before you speak.
Yes, you can. And another thing that I want to say is, you know, it's really a shame to mess with people's lives and livelihoods over, I don't know, just because you can. And I believe that we had that discussion at the very first board meeting when you took office. And I've tried to be very respectful of your chairmanship, but what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And whenever you're just asking people to resign or retire or whatever because you can, because you've got somebody else that you want in that position, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I think that's wrong. It's wrong to do to families. It's wrong to do to citizens. And it's wrong to do to the constituents and voters here in Madison County. Thank you.
I will say that it specifically in the statute, it permits us to extend the supervisor of assessment, chief of assessment, for 60 days. That's specifically in the statute, and that's what we're doing here this evening.
Yes, I agree. It does say that, but is it ultimately the right thing to do? And the board actually has to say on whether that's what we're going to do or whether we're going to extend Mr. Dodderman. We all know I'm probably one of the most outspoken members on this board, and I want to appeal to each and every board member here today to consider this carefully, the proposed amendment here. We're talking about a man that's done a great job. He's obviously done a great job because he's willing to keep him in there for 60 days until he finds his replacement. We're going to have a shortfall. There's going to be a gap where things can go wrong in that time frame. This man's done a great job, fellas, ladies and gentlemen, done a great job. Let's not replace him. Let's keep him there for 4 years. This makes zero sense whatsoever, and I'm appealing to each one of you to put this man in the job that he's been doing. He's doing an outstanding job at it. Let's not change it. Let's just put him in there for 4 years and be done with it.
I agree with Mike on this. He has done a wonderful job. He's a trusted employee. I shouldn't see no reason if he can handle a job for 2 months, he should be able to handle it for 4 years.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I like the conversation we're having. I'm going to repeat myself, which I like to do. When a new chairman, this chairman, a mayor, a governor, president comes in, they have every right to change their administration to the people they would like. They can come before the board and we vote for it. When you get into government jobs, you realize that you may not be there your whole life, and if you think you are, obviously you don't understand how government works. And I understand people losing their jobs. It's not a fun thing. But when you get involved in politics and you get involved in the county, the state, the federal government, and new people come in, you can lose your job. You know, and I think it's interesting. We have a lot of banter. Again, I don't remember any of these conversations under the prior administration. It amazes me that for 5 to 6 years, nobody said anything, nobody asked any question, nobody made any amendments to limit somebody or to add somebody. You know, I think it's time that we move forward with Kurt's agenda. He is the chairman, and we leave it alone. This is just getting really old. Every time, we want to change this, we want to change that, we want to do this, we want to do that. Sorry. I think it's time to move forward with Mr. Prinsler's agenda and the people that he would like in there. And guess what? In 3 years, if Kurt loses, the new person will come in. And I highly doubt anybody that's complaining now will complain if the people that he put in there are removed. So it's time to stop playing politics. Allow Mr. Prinsler to move forward with his agenda. Let's move forward with this, and let's move forward.
This is why we have a check and balance system in our government. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, any other discussion? Ms. Gorman.
Mike, I'm in agreement with you that Mr. Prinsler does have the opportunity to do this, but he does not have the ability to do it arbitrarily. And the former chairman at least talked to the other folks and took the opinions of others without doing it on his own. There's a big difference there.
I disagree. He did not ask everybody their opinion.
Point of order. He's already spoke.
Yes, Mr.
You mentioned my name.
I'm sorry. So would you like to speak, Mr. Walters?
Yeah, as
Point
I said.
Point of order, he's already spoke, sir.
My name was
he'd
mentioned.
Like to respond to Ms. Gorman.
Yes. He did not call people and get their opinions. He called and told us what he wanted to do, and that was fine. And I, if I didn't agree with him, I discussed it with him on the phone. I didn't come out here and attack him. I either voted no or voted with him.
Okay, and Mr. Hume would like to say something before.
It's very clear that the county board chairman gets to appoint here, and he also can appoint someone to serve 60 days. Okay, it says in the statute, and we can argue here about, you know, what we would like, this and that, but the state statute rules. It's very clear.
Okay. The state statute is not exclusive on this point. The state statute says that it can be done as a lawful exercise to do for 60 days, but that does not make the alternative unlawful. And the county board does have the power to control the resolutions that it votes on. If the chairman doesn't want that, that's certainly his prerogative. But the county board does have a right to amend all resolutions that come before it.
Yes, Mr. Chapman.
Yes. There's a lot of room for debate about various issues, but we're supposed to run by Robert's Rules of Order, and you have a resolution in front of us. And it specifies a number of days. And my understanding of Robert's Rules of Order is that you can amend the motion. So I'm not understanding why that would not be allowed. And then people will vote on it. And people will find out whether, you know, they want it for longer or shorter amongst the board members. If it fails, then quite obviously the board wants it to be shorter, not longer.
Yes, Ms. Kuhn.
Yes, if we're not allowed to amend this motion and vote on it, then we're going to be in the same position next month, and I think we should be allowed to vote on this, so there's no purpose of any of us being here.
I will say that the only reason this is not a straight-up appointment is because we're going retroactive back to the last county board date, and that's the only reason it's in the form of a resolution. Otherwise, it's a straight appointment. Any other discussion?
I think, Mr. Gibbons, the board, it's my understanding, can amend the time frame and the other part of this resolution, just not who's appointed, except in statute it says 60 days or for 4 years, and that comes from the county board chairman. Now, so.
We have a resolution. We have an amendment that we need to vote on.
I've got a question.
Mr. Wesley.
If we choose to do nothing with this resolution, what happens with Mr. Dowderman and what happens with that job? If we choose to vote down this resolution on either a 60 or a 4 year term, what happens?
Basically, that department would shut down.
No, it wouldn't shut down. It would. Right now, the state is contributing half of the salary and would put in question the state's contribution for the half of the salary for the supervisor of assessments. It would also potentially put in question certificates of error, whether we had a lawfully appointed chief county assessment official. That could totally be dealt with a 60-day appointment. at which time the county chairman can bring an appointment for the chief county assessment official for next meeting, and then you, as the county board, can decide whether you want to accept that appointment.
So to clarify, Doug.
Thank you.
To clarify, if I may, so you're saying that while we don't have somebody properly appointed in the lapse, that we'll lose 50% of the salary that's being paid by the state during that time, and also it opens us up for litigation from people whose assessments come in during that time frame.
There's certificates of error that you
can. The question's a yes or no.
Well, it's not a yes or no question.
It is a yes or no. Is that true?
Mr. Parkinson, if you'd let me finish, it's not a yes or no question. People can sue for anything, okay? And then that would just be a question of fact that Mr. Gibbons would have to deal with. But as far as.
So you want his opinion now?
Well, he can, yeah, certainly. He can give his opinion.
I'm interested in hearing it.
I will have to research on what the effect of this position, of the elapsing of the prior appointment, is on this position. In some positions, those appointments continue uninterrupted until a subsequent appointment is made, and in some it does not. And I don't know specifically at this moment what type of appointment this is, whether it's a carry-on or whether it's an expiration. So I'd have to do research on that. If the board would like that, I'd be happy to prepare that for you, but I won't be able to have that for you immediately.
Fair enough.
The recommendation I would say is Mr. Dauterman is there as chief county assessment official. This would provide 60 days, and you can carry this debate forward.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to add that Joe is from over in our side of the county, which that has no bearing on it. I do think he does a good job. But with so many of the situation that's going on, there are people. And it should not be about Republican and Democrat. It should be about who is doing a good job. And I've seen where people, when you get a new administrator, there are people losing their jobs. And they're not Republican. There's Republican and Democrats from the Highland area, two of them that I can think of that are excellent employees that could lose their job if there's a new administrator in there. And I don't agree with that. So I really do not understand why we cannot vote. It just doesn't seem like good government. Whenever someone makes a motion to amend and it's second, why we cannot amend? I don't understand that.
I believe that's a question. We are going to allow the amendment, aren't we?
Yes.
I first of all, believe the amended motion is not correct, because in the statute we're talking about a 60-day extension of this appointment, and that's what I'm doing here. Now, given that, I think we can go ahead and I would propose getting an AG opinion on this. If I could have a motion to
there's
to
a
do
motion
that.
On the floor already for a vote.
I think we're supposed to vote on the motion that's on the floor.
First, we vote on.
I don't think the motion the amendment is valid, but I will permit the voting to go forward.
But I don't think you could just make that determination, Mr. Chairman.
He just said he's going to let us vote. Let's vote. Vote no.
I don't think that the motion to amend is valid, because this is a 60-day appointment. But I will let the vote go forward, and we'll get an Attorney General's opinion on it. That's what I would like to do. So if we could have a roll call vote, and this is Madam Clerk, if you could please read the motion again.
I need a second.
Second.
And if we could read the motion to be real clear what we're voting on. It's the yes.
Question. Are we voting on the amendment?
We're voting on the amendment.
To the resolution, not the entire thing. We're voting on the amendment first.
The amendment to the resolution. And Madam Clerk, could you please read that motion, what we're voting on, so everyone can be clear?
Debbie, the second's not working here.
Well, I would prefer that we read the motion before we vote, so that we're clear on what we're voting on.
If I have this correctly, I believe the motion, the only change in the resolution as it stands, is to change from 60 days to a
four-year
term. So whereas the Madison County Assessment Office requires the appointment of a supervisor of assessments under ILCS 35, Chapter 200/3-5, and whereas the Chief Madison County Assessment term of the office has expired and the replacement of this... Whereas allows for a four-year appointment to be the supervisor of assessments until a qualified person is appointed to fill the position. The resolution itself is about qualifying, finding a qualified replacement. So all of that we're removing also?
I think maybe we should restate the motion from the floor. I think there are some problems with amending the resolution, as Madam Clerk pointed out.
I can restate if you'd like.
Yes, go ahead and restate the motion. Okay. This is the amendment.
Correct.
The amendment to appoint.
The amendment to appoint Joe Dotterman would be, instead of the 60-day term, would be the four-year appointment of an acting supervisor assessments until a qualified person is appointed to fill the position. So it could take, he could stay in there. No, he's qualified. That's what I mean. He's qualified for the position. If he had not been removed from the position in the first place, we wouldn't be dealing with this. So let's amend this to be the 60-day appointment instead of the 60-day appointment being a four-year appointment as
was
the
that
acting
clear, Madam
supervisor
Clerk?
Of assessments.
Okay, so if you could, Madam Clerk,
yes,
could you repeat that so that we could be clear what we're voting on the
Mr.
amendment?
We're voting on an amended resolution to appoint the Chief County Assessment Officer to a four-year term.
Right.
Yes,
as a supervisor of assessments, yes.
Correct.
Mr. Chairman.
And I seconded that.
Okay, so we have a motion. Yes, a discussion. Mr. Wesley.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, has Mr. Dotterman accepted your offer of a 60-day term?
Yes, he's been a part of putting together this resolution
So he's in agreement with the 60-day.
Well, I don't want to speak for him, but he was he worked with us to put this resolution together. So I don't want to put words in his mouth.
So we could possibly put him in for a 4-year term when he doesn't want the other 3 years and 10 months.
I would be careful of putting words in his mouth. He worked with us on this resolution.
It's a possibility, though.
I
also chose his commitment
really
to help out.
I don't understand the point you're making.
Chairman, just to be clear, in counties with less than 3 million inhabitants and not having an elected county assessor or an elected supervisor assessments, the Office of Supervisor of Assessments shall be filled by appointment by the presiding officer of the county board with the advice and consent of the county board.
Exactly. That last part's true.
That's crude.
Okay. Mr. Chairman,
can we vote?
Yes, Mr. Goggin.
I don't like surprises. I do a lot of research before I come to a meeting. I make phone calls. You guys get my phone calls. I do reading and I know what my votes are before I walk in here. And then to walk in another month and have another surprise where I have to dance and figure out how to vote, I'm not liking it. Now, I don't see any harm with voting for the resolution the way it's originally put forward, and if we want to appoint Mr. Dotterman next month, we could do that to 4 years. But I'm going to vote no just on principle that I don't like making changes like this and making decisions on the floor. It's a bad decision.
Does everyone understand what Mr. Goggin is saying, that if we vote in favor of the resolution, the original resolution that I put forward, that Mr. Goggin is suggesting we might be voting for Mr. Dotterman in any case next month. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mr. Parkinson.
Mr. Prinsler, do you really expect us to believe that next month we're going to
Mr.
come in
Mr. Chairman,
here
hasn't he spoke three or four times? Isn't this the guy that gets up and talks every time
floor.
Somebody Excuse starts to talk? And we're going to let him
Mr. Parkinson,
keep
I think that you're question is argumentative.
Okay, let me rephrase
and
me
really rephrase and you, what you're doing is you're questioning the motives of people. Do you
I
really expect us to believe
that? You brought it up. Do you
I mean I'm not being interrogated
let me
here.
Let me ask this. I have a right to ask questions. Are you going to appoint him next month to a 4-year
I don't know.
The answer is no.
Let's just vote.
Ms. Champoli?
I'm just ready to vote.
Mr. Chapman.
Yes, I have a question. If we were to appoint him as an acting person for a 4-year term, doesn't that mean like if we found somebody in a in a year or 6 months or whatever, this is an
acting
honest question,
was not part of the
that you could bring forth a name within that 4-year time, any time you wanted?
Mr. Chapman, it was for him to remain as the supervisor for the 4-year term, not acting.
So it would not be acting then, it would be remain as a supervisor.
Correct.
Period. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's go back. Do we have any other discussion before we vote on the amendment, which I think is invalid, but we do have this amendment to be voted on. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
the
Ms.
motion
Glasper.
Is for him to remain as supervisor, not acting.
You're voting on the amendment to the motion, and the amendment is to extend the term from 60 days to 4 years, correct?
As supervisor, not acting supervisor.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, and so it is important because regarding assessments and these sorts of things, we will certainly look at this from a legal standpoint. But right now, any other discussion before we vote on the amendment to the resolution? Hearing none, roll call.
So yes would be a vote to amend the resolution.
Yes would be a vote to amend the resolution. No would be a vote not to amend the resolution. Okay, so the motion to amend passes?
Carries.
And so we do have an amended motion on the floor. If I could entertain a motion to pass
motion
the resolution as amended to 4 years.
Motion to approve.
Mr. Axadurian? Second?
Second.
Mr. Petrillo?
All right.
Yes. Any discussion?
I need a second.
We have a second. Any discussion on this is the motion now amended to appoint Joe Dauterman to the amended motion is to appoint Joe Dauterman as acting chief of county assessment for 4 years.
Not acting.
He's supervisor for 4 years. No acting.
I'm sorry. It's the resolution. I'm sorry. Okay, so it's the amended resolution.
Correct.
We already voted on the amended resolution. We said he's going to be it for 4 years, and that means the primary doesn't even exist anymore because only amendment was voted on. You can't go back to the first thing now. That's done.
I'm sorry, the amended resolution. So we're voting on the amended resolution.
We've already voted on
that.
Question. I believe that
you need to vote on the amended resolution.
An amendment on its own is not a resolution. Is that not correct? Mr. Gibbons?
Madam Clerk just mentioned that we did vote on the amended resolution, so that has passed, the amended resolution.
Yes.
And so we're finished.
Yes, we are. We're finished with number one. Let's go on to
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, on the vote, when she made a resolution, I thought she made the resolution until you found a replacement. What I would like to see from you, Madam Mendoza, if you would, when we get the tape, I'd like to hear her see what she said in her resolution.
And I reiterated that.
Because it was my understanding that she did say until a replacement is found. So, to me, we can keep him for 4 years until somebody's found. So, if you can check that out, I'd appreciate it.
I'm sorry if you didn't understand what we voted on.
No, Mr. Parkinson, I did understand. I heard exactly what she said. Maybe you didn't. That's why I'm asking Madam Mendoza to check it out. And then at the next meeting, we will see what she said.
Thank you, Mr. Walters. If we could move on to number three.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do believe you only voted to amend.
That's right.
So
we still have the original.
There's still a resolution before the amended motion, as the chairman was presenting, is still before the board for a vote.
Thank you.
So it would be premature to move on because all you've done is amend.
So we need a motion to pass the original.
We voted to. That's what I thought. We voted
to pass the resolution as
the resolution.
Now you're actually voting on the resolution.
Okay. So can we restate the resolution, Madam Clerk?
Without having the tape, you would now be voting on. You voted to amend the original resolution. Now you're voting on whether or not to move forward with the amended resolution. Okay, it's not a correct?
All right. Locking him in for the 4 years.
All right.
Yes. I have a question.
So let me, a point of...
Yes, Mr. Chapman.
So if we vote yes on this, that would mean that Mr. Dodderman would be in that job for 4 years. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. As the amended resolution
on the next
stated.
Vote, if we vote yes, then he's it for 4 years. Is that correct?
Pending any...
Not acting, but actual.
It's supervised.
Correct.
Right.
Thank you for that clarification.
Is it clear? The resolution?
I'm not so sure it's clear what the resolution is.
You're now voting on whether or not to move forward with an appointment for the Chief County Assessment Officer, the Supervisor of Assessments, for a 4-year term.
Thank you.
There you go. That's it.
I will say that I'm in favor of submitting this for an AG opinion based on kind of the confusion here, but we do have an amended resolution on the floor. Any discussion? Hearing none? Yes. I didn't hear anyone. I heard someone speak. Mr. Minner?
Call for the question.
Okay. This would be a yes vote would be in favor of the resolution as amended, and so I'm calling for a roll call vote. Roll call. The amended resolution passes. If we could go on to number three, the Emergency Telephone System Board. We have Scott Prangy. I would invite a motion to
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr.
Chairman. I have a comment. You know, I told you I wanted to make.
Could we first put the motion on the floor?
Sure.
We need a motion to put this appointment on the floor. If someone could, if I could have a motion. Mr. Walters, a second?
Second.
I heard someone say Ms. Dalton. Yes, so we do have a motion and a second to put this appointment on the board. Ms. Kuhn, would you like to speak to this?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and fellow county board members. It has been approximately 2 or 3 months that I have been trying to convince Chairman Prenzler to keep Terry Bell as a member of the 911 board. Terry is the chief of police in Highland, very well respected, and probably one of the most knowledgeable 911 board members. My request has absolutely nothing to do with 911 board circumstances at present time. Terry and I have met with Chairman Prenzler. Last month's county board meeting had another name put in to replace Terry Bell. Chairman Prenzler told me he would reconsider. But now we have another person's name living in close proximity to Highland. I truly believe this choice was made because some of us know him, and it makes it difficult to vote no. He is a good person. It could make a good 911 board member. Today I'm voting no on this appointment in support of an acting Highland 911 board member. It has nothing to do with Scott. Taking Chief Bell off of the 911 board is taking a Highland representative off the board. You can debate the fact this would be an Eastern representative on the 911 board, but you cannot debate the fact Highland is the most heavily populated municipality on the eastern side of the county. 2010 census showed St. Jacob Township 2,500 people, and Saline and Helvetia Townships were 15,000 in 2010. When representation of the people is taken away and put into a few people's hands, democracy does diminish. I am asking for a roll call and a no vote defending a majority of people on the eastern side of the county's representation. This definitely is not a negative vote on behalf of Scott Prangy. He is a good person. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kuhn. Mr. Chapman.
With all of Judy's comments, I do not know Mr. Prangy, but I do know Terry Bell very well. He's a man of great integrity. He's an excellent public servant. He serves us magnificently in Highland, and I'm proud to vote to retain him by voting no on this particular appointment.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Mr. Parkinson.
Mr. Prinsler, in past, when we come up for votes on these types of boards, in the past you've stated that if we don't approve this guy, it doesn't mean that we're going to get the guy that was previously in that position. Is that still your position today?
I'll say that again.
If we vote no on Mr. Prange, is it Prange? Am I saying that correctly? I apologize if I'm not. If we vote no on Mr. Prange, does that mean that we're not going to see Terry Bell again? That
if you vote no on this, then it would not be filled. It would not be. There would be no appointment, and then.
So you wouldn't be willing to accept Terry Bell at the recommendation of everybody here.
Again, you're asking for speculation, but if I may speak just a little bit in terms of why I am making changes in appointing new people to the 911 board. We've seen two Belleville News Democrat editorials, and I think everyone in this room is well aware that St. Clair County did meet the legal requirement of reducing their 911 call centers by 50%, which is a state law. And they accomplished that according to the state schedule, and they reduced the number of 911 call centers from 8 to 4. In Madison County, that deadline was not met. An extension was sent to the state of Illinois, and that extension basically gave Madison County an extended due date until, I believe, July 31st or August 1st to submit a plan to the state. And so I believe that the 911 board has been late. And I was in a meeting. In fact, I waited until after a meeting on Friday in this room. The room was packed with law enforcement officials. I think Mr. Pollard was here. Mr. Holliday was here. It was packed with law enforcement people from all over the county. I think probably maybe every chief of police in the county. And I think the tone was that they wanted Madison County to achieve the 50% reduction in 911 call centers on schedule according to state law. And I believe that they also were frustrated with the slowness of the current board getting that accomplished. And so what I can do as county chairman is I can appoint new members to that board. And what I've done since I've been county chairman is I've appointed Mr. Moore to represent the county board, and also Captain Mark McLemore from the Sheriff's Department. I find myself in agreement with the sheriff, and also I believe most of the police departments in Madison County, that we should get moving on a plan to reduce the number of call centers from 16 to 8. This is not fun. This is difficult, but it's the state law, and we have to do that. And we're kind of like, in Madison County, we're a little bit like school children or teenagers who are waiting until the very last moment to study for an exam. We are right next to the deadline. And so that's why what I feel as county chairman I can do is appoint good members. But I do believe that our former 911 board has not accomplished their state-mandated goals on time. And I certainly wish that those goals be accomplished by August 1st. So that's my reason for appointing a new member. Yes, Mr. Asadorian.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Sitting on the Public Safety Committee, if I remember right, we were informed that several counties received extensions. This is not an easy job to take 16 PSAPs and put it down to 8. You know, St. Clair County, yeah, that 8 to 4 is a lot easier than 16 to 8. But the extension is being granted, and we're also informed that that plan would be in place, would be presented to the Public Safety Committee in July. So it's not like they're not doing their job. And as far as the emergency phone system that we have in this county, it's one of the best in the state. We've received accolades throughout the state on it, and it's just a great working system. And you know, if changing it is, you know, going to speed the process up in the next 30 days, I doubt it. You know, it's either going to make the deadline or it's not. Putting a new person on is not going to make a difference. But I'll be voting no against this.
Yes. Any other comments,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
you know, and as I, with all due respect, as I stated, my vote requesting a no has nothing to do with circumstances that are on the 911 board now. And I have nothing but good to say about Scott Prange. He's a good person. But it also has to do, Cherry's a great guy, it has to do with representation. And to go from one population with the population that it has compared to this, it, you know, I think any board member here would feel the same way I do.
I will say that the eastern side of the county, if anything, in the 911 board is overrepresented. There are two representatives from Troy presently, one from Highland.
That's nine miles from us. That's 9-10 miles. That is not far eastern. That is not the eastern part of the county. St. Jacob is a smaller community. Highland is far east. What you're saying is you want to take representation away from Highland. That's exactly what you're saying.
In deference to some of the concerns, we did look for a qualified representative from the Highland area, and we found what we believe is a qualified person from St. Jacob. So, any other discussion? Mr. Chapman.
Yes. We mentioned moving from 16 to 8 in a discussion recently with the sheriff. I was told that whoever the head of the entire board is just recently put out on the table, I think last week, and some of my constituents in Prairie Town were very upset with this, that he didn't want to go from 16 to 8, he wanted to go from 16 to 1 center. And it seems to me that when you have a chairman over the whole shooting match, that at 2 months before due date suddenly decides, oh, well, let's have one call center to handle the whole county, that one wonders if the problem is really Mr. Bell or if it's the guy who's at the head of the whole thing. And I'm not understanding, given everybody's dissatisfaction with him, why he hasn't been replaced, frankly. And
that's not on the agenda this evening. I appreciate that comment. Any other comments?
Chairman, I do want to say.
Yes, Mr. Michael.
Yeah, being from Highland, which Terry Bell's obviously the police chief from, I represent and I live in that district my entire life. Scott Prange is also from St. Jacob, which is the district where I'm from. So both men actually happen to either be or work in the district where I'm from. I would say, as you know, the last 2 months, we've talked much at length about this with Judy, and I have supported Terry Bell 100%. I think he's a great police chief and a huge asset to the board. However, I do know Scott Prange as well, and he would be a very qualified candidate, and I do support him. He is a former chief, fire chief in St. Jacob there. He's a very qualified individual, very intelligent, high integrity guy. So I don't see this as a, no vote on Terry Bell. I see it as it's a yes or no vote on Scott Prange, and I will be voting yes on Scott Prange.
Any additional discussion? Hearing none, I would like to call for a roll call, and this is.
If we're going to do a roll call, I need someone. You got it? I need a second.
Do we have a second?
Liz, can you second for me?
So this is, we're voting on the appointment of Scott Prange to a 4-year term on the Emergency Telephone System Board. Roll call.
It's struggling tonight.
14 yes, 12 no.
So the motion carries. And I now would entertain a motion to appoint Mayor Wood River Mayor Cheryl McGuire to the SILEC board.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on this appointment?
Just a question.
Yes, Mr. Asadorn.
Does she have any emergency services background?
I don't know. This is the Southwestern Illinois Law Enforcement Commission.
Right. Does she have any type of...
Yeah, it must be a mayor.
Okay. Does she have any type... Simple question. Does she have any type of emergency services background?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Malone.
I know Mayor McGuire. She's a retired teacher.
So I guess the answer is no.
Yes, Mark, yes.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Parkinson.
I want to speak on behalf of law enforcement that I represent and Mayor Hagnar of Granite City. Mayor Hagnauer has been a dedicated servant to the public, and he's been a very good friend to law enforcement. He is a retired fire chief from the Granite City Police Department, so he has vast knowledge of the board that he sits on. To replace him, I think, would be an injustice to the public that we represent and to law enforcement.
It's my understanding, Mr. Parkinson, that Mayor Hagenauer resigned from this board.
I don't think he really wanted to.
I it's my understanding that was on his initiative, but again, I may have to go back and study that. But that's this is, in my mind, certainly not any reflection on Mayor Hagenauer, who I have a great deal of respect for. But it's my understanding that we received a letter that he was resigning from this board.
Mr. Chairman, I call the question.
Well, any other discussion on this issue? I don't want to.
Are there any other mayors out there with any type of emergency services background that you could consider?
I don't know, but I would imagine there are.
I think that would be helpful for this commission. That's the only reason I'm asking.
Ms. Champulli.
I would only vote to change this if truly there was a letter from Mr. Mayor Hagnauer that he was resigning from this position. So there is a letter that he sent.
I'll confirm that for him. He did resign.
Okay.
I do recall that we received a letter, but I don't have a photographic memory, so. Any other discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would say that if it's a mayoral appointment, which I wasn't aware there were such things, but if it is, then the chances of somebody having law enforcement and it was a mayoral appointment for a reason. It didn't say mayoral and law enforcement. It said mayoral. So it seems to me that there's probably a method to that madness, that there's probably a reason they wanted a mayor on there. And because, you know, people bring different life experiences to the table. And these commissions, I think, do deserve balance and different points of view. And I do know Cheryl McGuire, and I think she would do a great job.
I do understand also, please someone correct me, if Mayor McGuire's daughter is in law enforcement. Is that the case?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
Mr. Pollard.
Yeah, I know Cheryl very well, too. She's more than qualified, whether she has any background in law enforcement or not. She's a lady of high integrity. I think she'll be a great job.
Any other discussion?
Ms. Prinzer?
Yes.
Yes, one comment here.
Yes, Mr. Moore.
Along with Mr. McCray, that I think a good example of what he's talking about is myself being appointed to the ETSB, where I really don't have a police background, but they require the majority of members to have police emergency service type background. So what they're looking for on that board is more of a well-rounded perspective and a different perspective for things. So maybe that could be the reason why they want a mayor and not necessarily a mayor with police experience.
And I do want to underline that I have the highest regard for Mayor Hagenauer, and I do recognize his background in the fire department. But it is my understanding that this entire process began with a letter that we received from Mayor Hagenauer where he was resigning. So, any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. If I could ask Ms. Champulli to bring in the summary report of claims and transfers from the Finance and Government Operations Committee.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, the Finance and Government Operations Committee has to bring forward for a motion to approve the summary report for claims and transfers. If there are any questions?
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
I'm crying.
You have a new battery, too. I think it must be the finger.
It's an operator problem. Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay.
Mr. Jones, as chair of the Grants Committee, if you could please bring in the resolution. And on the first resolution on authorizing the public infrastructure loan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members. Make a motion to approve a resolution authorizing a public infrastructure loan to Manny Jackson Center for Humanities.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Jones, if I could ask you to bring in six additional resolutions from the Grants Committee and the Finance and Government Operations Committee.
Mr. Chairman, number one, a resolution awarding a bid for weatherization material vendor. Number two, resolution awarding bids for weatherization electrical contractor. Three, a resolution awarding bids for the weatherization HVAC contractor. Four, resolution authorizing approval of a vendor for the in-school youth programming in the Madison County for the Madison County Employment Training Department. Number five, a resolution authorizing approval of a vendor for the out-of-school youth programming in Madison Bond Counties for the Madison County Employment Training Department. And number six, a resolution authorizing approval of a one-stop operator of the Madison County American Job Center by the Madison Bond Workforce Innovation Board.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Goggin, if I could ask you to bring in the resolution from the IT Committee.
Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, the IT Committee and Finance Committee have one resolution. Resolution to purchase a cybersecurity assessment professional services contract for Madison County IT Department. I move for its approval.
Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Walters, if I could ask you to bring in the resolution from the Judiciary Committee.
Oh, I am on that committee.
Good God. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the board. I haven't done this before. I'll be accepting questions from anybody but Mr. Parkinson, Mr. Asadorian. I'm just kidding, guys. Judiciary, I have a resolution to purchase a three-year agreement for the evaluation component of the Enhanced Drug Court Treatment Program for Madison County Probation and Court Services Department, and we do have the approval of all seven members.
Do we have a second?
Yes.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Wesley, if you could please bring in the motion from the Personnel Committee.
Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, Personnel and Labor Relations Committee brings forth one resolution. This resolution is concerning health benefits eligibility for Madison County board members and part-time non-union and grants employees, and we ask for your approval.
We have a second?
Yes.
Any discussion?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Asadorian.
Clarification purposes. Is this a state mandated deal, or I mean, are we changing that part-time employees cannot buy health insurance? Were they able to before?
Mr. Wesley, would you like to address that?
This is not state mandated. This is policy from the county. And we have grandfathered in all part-time non-union employees that wanted to stay in the program. They will not be withdrawn. This goes into effect on August 1st. Any new part-time non-union employees hired after August 1st would not be offered or eligible for health care benefits.
And I guess my question is, why not? If they're paying for it, what does it cost us? That would be my question. I mean,
Mr. Wesley, go ahead.
Because I was in that program as a board member until I got old enough to get old people insurance. But I mean, it was helpful. It was helpful in my situation. Why would we want to hold it against a part-time employee that they cannot buy something if they're paying for it?
We're not holding anything against any employees. They would know up front when they're hired. They wouldn't be eligible for health insurance benefits. And also, there is a cost to the county for all people that are involved in health care benefits. And we felt like that expense was something that we could do without.
Any other discussion?
Well, Chairman, I want to add to that given the ACA, people have the option for health care right now. And when you add people to our health care risk pool, you're increasing our costs or potential costs. I know last year we went over substantially in that area.
What were those numbers?
I think,
Mr. Parkinson?
I think my fear would be what, you know, they do have access to affordable health care now under Obamacare, but what Mr. Trump may do to it is unforeseen, and we're changing something that people may not have access anymore. We don't know what Mr. Trump's going to do. So I think we should definitely err on the side of caution here and at least give people an opportunity to purchase their health care if they need to.
Is it costing us monthly? Do we have to pay a part of their premium? I don't think we do because, I pour the entire load myself. So what is it costing us except for the possibility that, you know, somebody gets sick and they're thrown in the pool, but also if they don't get sick, that benefits us the other way, too. The number of people that are in it that aren't getting sick compared to our. So
may I ask Mr. Wesley or Mr. Hume, do you have any cost numbers on those, on that, any estimate?
Yes, we were given cost numbers on what it cost us per year with them enrolled, and also there is a cost per month, I believe, and I think Ms. Schoberly can help explain that cost per month.
Mr. Hume, if you could talk about our healthcare
situation.
Well,
that's probably best to talk about that. She probably has the numbers in her hands here.
And also, this only affects four people right now that are continuing on the healthcare program, so it's not something that's highly sought after.
Ms. Schoberly, would you please address some of the cost, the numbers involved here?
Yes. For the county currently pays $295 per month for the coverage for the part-time employees. We are a self-funded health benefits plan, so for full-time employees, we're paying the full cost for employee-only coverage. For part-time employees, that's 20 hours to 29.99 hours. So anyone that's 30 hours or more per week is considered full-time for health benefits coverage purposes, and that's under the Affordable Care Act. So this impacts currently three employees that are non-union or grant employees and one board member are paying $295 per month for their employee-only coverage, and then they pay additional coverage if they had dependent coverage. That's just for the premium. We can't consider claims costs because that's discriminatory. So we can't include those in this number. There are a total of 8 non-union that have declined and a total of 28 board members that have declined. So the current enrollment cost, just based on the numbers we have right now, is $28,719.60.
Ms. Schoberly, I have a question for
year
you. In the future, then, what we're voting on, if we pass this evening, in the future, county board members would not be eligible for health insurance. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah. Was that $28,000 cost, is that an annual cost?
Yes.
Okay. And you said the county is paying that. Does the individual? I thought the individual paid.
The individual is paying the other 50%.
Okay. So for a single plan, then, it's $600 a month?
It's $590 per month for what the county contributes to employee-only coverage, a part-time employee, in that 20 to 29.99 hours per week, or for county board members is paying $295 per month for their coverage as an employee only. Now, if they have dependents, there's other, you know, that's factored differently depending upon dependent coverage. Okay.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes, sir. I have two questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for calling on me. The first is, what is the bottom line? I mean, as you're looking forward to next year, if we pass this over 12-month period, how much does the county save?
Well, if you look at the current enrollment cost, it's $28,719.60 for those that are actually enrolled. But for the potential enrollment cost could be if all of those people that are part-time or the county board members all had coverage, then we're looking at a figure of $244,230 per year.
$250,000 a year, if this, is that a realistic figure? My next question was, if you pass this, what will be the quality of the part-time person you can expect to draw to for employment here if they know from the get-go that, oh, they don't give me any health insurance?
Good point.
Very good. Mr. Maxwell.
Mr. Chairman, Personnel Labor Relations Committee spent a couple months negotiating this, trying to make sure that we were as amicable as we possibly could be to all current part-time employees, as well as taking into consideration cost savings and a number of other issues. We wanted to make sure that we did not back out on our word to our part-time employees, full-time or otherwise, and making sure that we continue to provide them the coverage that they currently have. All this will affect those individuals hired after 1 August. And I understand what Mr. Chapman's saying,
It was an honest question, Mr.
It was, sir. But under Obamacare, they would have that same opportunity to purchase insurance. And this will potentially, when everybody drops off, could save the county $30,000 a year, roughly, rough numbers. But right now, there is no cost savings to the county. We are looking at potential projected cost savings in years to come as attrition takes its toll.
Very good. Any other questions or discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I would just say that I think this is probably a baby step. We're not kicking anybody off that's currently enrolled. I think it's a very humane. I mean, we're doing the humane thing. We're keeping people on that are here, and we're just saying for future people who apply for the job and accept those, they know what they're getting coming in, and you know the truth is that I think all public bodies are going to have to look at all the benefits. Pensions and health care benefits and things like that are extremely expensive, and we have to start someplace and just be good shepherds of the taxpayers' money. And this is a baby step, I think. And I know it's nice to offer those, but at some point you have to say maybe we shouldn't. And so I think I commend the committee. I know it's a tough job.
I have a question.
You can get Parkinson.
Yes, Mr. Parkinson.
Was it ever considered to allow them to obtain insurance through the county plan at 100% cost to themselves?
I don't believe you can have 100% cost because we still have to administer it.
Well, they could pay 100% of the premium cost, but then we still incur the claims cost.
That would be substantially smaller than what you're paying right now, correct?
I don't know what the claims costs are for those individuals because, again, we can't consider that because that's discriminatory to include the claims costs.
I'd just like to say, Mr. Parkinson, as you expand the risk pool by adding people into this plan, given the law of large numbers, you're increasing your risk and for large claims.
Well, yes, based on that,
Mr. Holliday,
you know, there's going to be younger people coming in, not older, so that's going to enhance the opportunity to not get sick. But what's your recommendation on that? What's your recommendation on this?
Given the small number of people that this impacts, I don't feel like this is, because given that the law is currently that if they're 30 hours or more per week, then they're considered full-time. So this, like I said, it has a very small impact on a small number of people. They've all been given the
I think it's important to mention that it impacts everyone in this room, all county board members.
Yes,
this would deny
the right to have health insurance paid for by the taxpayers for county board members after August 1st.
Well, I think that showing that the numbers here, that there's really only one that would be grandfathered in, I think my concern is if at some point this administration or some other administration tries to hire a lot of part-time people, and it would affect a lot of the workforce in the county that wouldn't have access to it. And again, I'll reiterate, we don't know what Mr. Trump's going to do to dismantle the Affordable Health Care Act. I have concerns over that. I applaud for trying to save money. I agree with trying to save the money. However, I caution, we don't know what's going to happen.
Any additional comments or questions? Mr. Moore.
I have just what I think is one fact that we need to remember is that, you know, we do not have a surplus of cash here at the county or the state, and we have responsibility to taxpayers to try to reduce costs where we can. We are grandfathering, and I think this is a reasonable action.
Any other questions or
Mr.
comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Assadori.
Yes. You know, Mr. Hume, you made a statement earlier that kind of bothers me. It almost makes me think that if we have less employees, naturally we'll save money on health insurance because we're definitely lowering the risk pool. And that's kind of thinking that it bothers me. I mean, you know, if somebody wants the opportunity to purchase insurance to protect themselves or their families, and we're just out and out denying that right, I agree with Mr. Chapman. I don't know what kind of employees are going to want to take these jobs.
Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman, right here.
Sorry. Yes, Mr. Wesley.
I would offer that we're doing what we think is in the best interest of the taxpayers in the county with this, and we're doing it through county policy. And if situations change, we've got the ability to change policy again to make it in the best interest of the taxpayers as well. So if we have a situation that arises that we need to revisit something, I think we've got the ability to do that.
Mr. Chairman, if you could keep it brief, I believe you spoke already on this issue.
Well, I just wanted to clarify what I said. Mine was an honest question about would this impact the type of quality of individuals we get.
Thank you.
And I think Mr. Wesley just spoke to that issue, as did Mr. Maxwell. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Maxwell, if I could ask you to bring in from the Planning and Development Committee resolutions H1 and 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, was there a question, sir?
I believe Mr. Chapman is going to bring in the I-1 and 2, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So thank you, Mr. Maxwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to, if it pleases the chairman and members of the board, bring in these as a group with one exception. Z170015, I wish to bring out individually, specifically so I can explain to the members and make sure everyone is completely clear on exactly what they're voting on. Aside from that, zoning resolution Z160079, 0020, 0021, 0024, 0022, 0025, 0027, and 0026 were approved by the committee, and I move for its adoption.
Second.
I think there's a typo on 002. That should be 0022. Okay.
Yes.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries.
All right, thank
Mr. Maxwell.
Resolution Z170015, petition of John and Sandra Hess, owners of record, requesting a zoning map amendment in order to rezone a 6-acre tract from B3 Highway Business District to B4 Wholesale Business District in Marine Township. The ZBA, as well as the committee, voted to deny this. So if your vote is a yes vote, that will be in denial of this permit. And I wanted to make sure that everything else was approved but this one specifically was a denial, and I wanted to make sure the members of the board were clear on exactly what vote they were casting on this resolution. Z170015, I move for its adoption, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
And finally, Mr. Chairman.
Motion carries. Mr. Maxwell, H2, please.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, resolution Zoning Board of Appeals, finding and facts recommendation for a resolution authorizing a text amendment to Chapter 93 of the Madison County Zoning Ordinance. It was approved by all members, and I move for its adoption.
Second.
Having a motion, second. Roll. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Chapman, would you please bring in from the Planning and Development Committee resolutions I-1 and I-2?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It's my great pleasure to vote or move the resolution approving the execution of an agreement to provide code enforcement services for the Village of New Douglas. I was intimately involved in helping to make this happen. Mr. Brandemeyer carried the ball and worked for over 60 days with the leadership of New Douglas, and this would greatly benefit the people there and the overall county living conditions. I also would like to move the resolution in support of Illinois Senate Bill 7 to allow electronic gaming at Illinois racetracks.
I would like to ask if anyone would like to vote on these separately.
I have a question on number one, so yes, let's vote on them separately.
If that would be okay, Mr. Chapman, if you could make a motion for I-1.
Yes, I make the resolution for I-1.
We have a motion and a second.
I-1. We do have a, so this is for the resolution approving the execution of an agreement to provide code enforcement services for the Village of New Douglas only.
Yes, sir.
And that's on the floor with a second. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. President. I'm reading this agreement, and I'm wondering what Madison County is going to do that New Douglas can't. Because in the agreement, it talks about the village's zoning board will send violation notices to the county. The village agrees that the village inspector handling the violation will be available to testify. Well, what's the county's involvement then? If they're still going to keep their assessor and their zoning board, then why does the county have to exert additional costs?
Mr. Chapman, would you like to speak to that?
I mean, it's a little confusing here.
Is Mr. Brandemeyer here this evening?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Matt Brandemeyer.
I'd like a resident expert to speak to that.
Thank you very much.
Yes, please.
Essentially, they're going to use our adjudication courts. They don't municipal court, if they wanted to form one, it would cost a lot of money. We're not going to incur a great cost, by using the administrative court. So it is cheaper for them. Any penalties that are received as a result of this violation process will be kept by us. So there is going to be, a small revenue stream. I don't expect the overall involvement of, these violations from the village to be great. We do about 500 violations a year. I expect to receive about 10.
Mr. Asadorian, any further questions?
Well, any fines that are collected come to the county. The village gets none of it. Okay.
Ms. Champulli.
Yes, sir. Is there any other village or municipality within the county, Madison County, that also uses our services like this?
Not yet. This might be a trial. It might be something that other villages or towns request. I would reserve it for only the smaller, like a Warren or Alhambra, not one of the larger towns or cities.
Well, that was part of my, thank you, Lisa, for asking that. That was part of my fear, is that if we're going to be doing all this, then how many other communities are going to want to jump on board because they don't want to spend the money, their tax dollars, and rather spend ours. So that, thank you for both of you. For
any other questions or comments on, yes, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, since this is a joint resolution with two committees, I'll just let the board know that the Government Relations Committee did consider and discuss and unanimously pass this resolution for services for Village of New Douglas.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Chapman, would you please bring in the resolution involving electronic gaming?
Mr. Chairman, I move a resolution in support of Illinois Senate Bill 7 to allow electronic gaming at Illinois racetracks. This would directly impact Fairmont Park in Collinsville, which is currently barely keeping its head above water. While there are numerous establishments around the racetrack that are allowed to have electronic gaming, where specifically people go to gamble, there are no electronic gaming machines. Actually, the entire racing industry is struggling in Illinois. And in Collinsville case, Mr. Chairman, this would mean a loss of 1,500 jobs. I would argue most strenuously that we cannot afford to lose 1,500 jobs in the county, much less 1,500 jobs in Collinsville. So I cannot speak highly enough for the adoption of this resolution, and hopefully it will move some people to action at the State House.
We have a motion.
Second.
Second. Any other discussion, Mr. Walters?
Yeah, just to let you know, this bill passed the Senate. It is, however, in the House, has been sent to rules with no extension date, so this bill's basically dead. So we can vote for this, but it's going to fall on deaf ears in Springfield. It's not going to go anywhere.
Any other comments or questions?
Yes, let's vote for it then.
Mr. Moore?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would also add again that the Government Relations Committee also considered, discussed, and unanimously passed a resolution, and I moved also to adopt this resolution that will help provide an even playing field and allow electronic gaming at Illinois racetracks.
Any other, Mr. Chapman, any other discussion or comments, questions? Ms. Harris?
If this is pointless, can we table it for good?
Ms. Novacic, I would argue.
Ms. Harris.
It was Harris. I would argue that this is not pointless. In fact, it's very necessary. It's necessary that we, as a united voice, or if not as a united voice, with most of the people voting yes, send a message to Springfield that we would like them to consider our industries down here and to act accordingly so that our economy doesn't suffer.
Any other comments or questions, Mr. Parkinson?
I agree with Mr. Chapman.
Any other questions or comments? Ms. Sham? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Ms. Glasper, would you please bring in the report from the Public Safety Committee?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members. Your Public Safety Committee would like to submit its report covering the amusement licenses that were received in the clerk's office.
Thank you, Ms. Glasper. Mr. Chapman, back to you. If you would please bring in from the Real Estate Tax Cycle Committee the property trustee resolution.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and ladies and gentlemen of the board, I move the property tax resolution unanimously approved by the Real Estate Tax Cycle Committee on Tuesday, June 13th, be approved by the Madison County Board.
Second. Any discussion?
Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. McRae, would you please bring in the resolutions from the Transportation Committee?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We have the Transportation Committee has seven items for the board's consideration tonight. We have a prevailing wage resolution. We have a report of bids award contract for the 2017 County Township Motor Fuel Tax Maintenance Salt Material Proposal. We have a report of bids and award contract for the new Pogue Road Bridge. We have a right-of-way acquisition on Siler Road. We have a resolution providing for the participation in the comprehensive transportation planning under the East-West Gateway Coordinating Council. We have a resolution for the improvement under the Illinois Highway Code for Southmoreland Road. And finally, we have an agreement for preliminary engineering services for the Gateway Commerce Center Drive North. This was reviewed by the Transportation Committee, and I make a motion for its approval, for their approval.
Any discussion? Mr. Maxwell.
Question. Mr. Hume, can you explain to me this prevailing wage resolution and why it's coming through the Transportation Committee? Because it looks like it affects numerous skilled labor across the county. And there's a follow-up question, but I'll yeah, give that I think to it's, Mr. McRae, the one, sir.
Mr. McRae.
Well, I believe, I'm not an expert on this, but I believe in our discussion, Mr. Gavillo stated that this has just traditionally been run through the Transportation Committee, but it does, in fact, impact the entire county. It's a law that was passed by the state of Illinois and a requirement that is basically handed down from the state, and Mr. Gibbons perhaps can elaborate more on it than I can, but it's basically something that the state requires us to pass, and it's kind of a one of those mandates that...
Understand. Yeah, thanks, Mr. McRae. Then, Mr. Gibbons, I would ask a question from you. If we're required to pass prevailing wage that's being passed down from the Illinois General Assembly, wherever it's coming down from, why vote on it here? And I realize that's an ambiguous question, but I'm trying to figure out why we're voting on prevailing wage resolution if, in fact, we really have no choice on this.
County is required by law to set prevailing wage, determine and set prevailing wage for the county. So the county board effectively has jurisdiction over it, but it's required to be done by state law, but county by county.
Does the state set the minimum?
Mr. Maxwell?
I think that's correct.
But each municipality in the county files their prevailing wage with the county clerk's office also. Okay.
Mr. Gavillo, would you like to speak to this? Any additional questions or comments? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Is there any new business anyone would like to bring up before we go into the quarterly County Board of Health meeting?
Yes.
Mr. Asadorian, yes.
I read in the paper there's evidently a levy war raging between the states of Illinois, Iowa, and Missouri. I don't know if anybody else read this article. Illinois is talking about bringing their levies up higher. Missouri's complaining that it's going to cause more flooding towards their part. And I was wondering if we're aware of any of this going on. And is it going to have a direct impact on our levy system in our county? I just read this yesterday in the paper. So
I think it's a very appropriate comment, Mr. Asadorian. I was at the committee, our meeting of the Southwest Illinois Flood Prevention Council this morning, and I think they generally disagreed with that that article that was in the Post-Dispatch. Is that correct?
Right, correct.
Okay. And I would...
I would like to do a little more research and get a response back to you on that, if that's okay. But I hesitate to speak because it's highly technical. But I will get back to the board on that article. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Ms. Gorman.
I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention, I'm not sure for those that are not from Edwardsville, I know we recognize many times all the student athletes like we did today, but I wanted to call out there were 10 Edwardsville journalism students who participate every year in a state competition, and for the first time in history, they tied for first place. So they brought home a winner as well, and I just would like to commend those 10 young women who went to state.
Thank you.
Can we do a resolution? Mr. Chairman, can we do a resolution for them? I think, Ann, could you write that up? I think we should do it. I mean, we should recognize states.
Should we do it at a later meeting?
Yeah, next month.
Okay, very good. Any other additional new business anyone would like to bring up before we go into the Board of Health quarterly meeting? Hearing none, if I'd entertain a motion that we would go into the Board of Health, Mr. Holliday.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the board. First, I ask that our activity report be placed on file as presented. At this time, I'd like to read you the Madison County Health Department vision and mission. Healthy choices, people, and places. Health, Madison County. Our mission is to promote, protect, and assure conditions for optimal health through leadership, partnership, prevention, and response. We believe in being sensitive to the cultural factors influencing health, encouraging employees to pursue personal and professional growth, delivering high-quality services, identifying and minimizing health disparities, maintaining a qualified workforce dedicated to fulfilling their roles, providing programs necessary to promote and protect community, sustaining partnerships, and maintaining community collaborations. Statement of purpose, health needs assessment and community health plan. The purpose of the health needs assessment is to collect and analyze a variety of data to obtain a current clear picture of the state of health in Madison County, Illinois. Data is collected from various sources, including statistical data in specific categories, information and feedback from community leaders, observational data from trends in health, and citizen perception of health needs, their root causes. Qualitative and quantitative data are analyzed to identify common themes and specific health issues that exhibit concern for health impact. Health concerns that were more prevalent continue to be looked at through the process for consideration as possible health priorities. The health needs assessment process and the resulting data was the primary source of information for review during the core group meeting to set the 2016 through 2021 health priorities. Highlighted data from the health needs assessments is included in this document for general community use and for program and strategic planning purposes. Data collection and analysis. At the core of the health needs assessments is the collection of analysis and data. Our plan protocol dictates that, at minimum, data groupings designated by the Illinois Department of Public Health in the iPlan data system be reviewed and analyzed to determine the health status and health problems most meaningfully for the community within each grouping. The iPlan data system categories include demographic and socioeconomic characteristics, general health and access to care, maternal and child health, chronic disease, infectious disease, environmental, occupational injury, and sentinel events. During May-August 2015, qualitative and quantitative data was collected and organized, reviewed, and analyzed within 7 required iPlan data systems areas, as well as other categories identified as relevant and timely to regard the health status in Madison County. 10 top health concerns identified from the 3 data collections became clear and were utilized by the core team during the health priority setting in August of 2015. Madison County's Health Department method for data collection and analysis included a 3-tiered approach to obtain the perspective of community partners who work in the field, interact with residents, and provide services the perception of the general community, and availability statistically evidenced related to a variety of health problems. This component was accomplished by conducting stakeholder focus groups, administering a community health survey, piloting a photo voice project, and collecting and analyzing multiple statistical data points. Additional data considered during the process included Madison County Youth Forum problem statements and recommendations, 2011 through 2016 Madison County Community Health Plan outcomes, community health needs assessment reports for the Madison County hospitals, annual reports for local social service agencies, program data, community trends, and identified needs through the general course of business. Data from all three types of data sources were analyzed and cross-referenced to generate the top 10 health concerns list for the core team and began the health priority setting process. This is an initiative that we do as a Madison County Board through the I-Plan to help make sure that Madison County maintains a healthy outcome.
Thank you, Mr. Holliday. And Mr. Holliday, as chairman of the Health Committee, if I could ask you, I do believe there was a resolution in the paper packet that was sent out to the county board where your committee approved 4-1 spending money with Grindr, and that was to be approved by the county board. Why was that taken off the agenda this evening?
Grindr pulled it.
I'm sorry?
Grindr pulled the project.
So any questions here about that?
Why? Do we know why they pulled it?
It passed the time limit of us getting the contract with them. And they had to go back and redo the contract. So
they going to resubmit? No.
Mr. Holliday, did you speak to that organization directly yourself, or you just?
No, I didn't speak to it myself directly.
Yes, Ms. Crona. Could you speak up, please?
I didn't hear the last part. Pardon me.
It's when we're getting something. The proposal was dated to expire May 31st. The transaction and the entire process to approve the proposal needed to go through the Finance Committee and the Health Department Committee first. Grindr could not wait any longer because of their scheduling process, so they voided the transaction. I received an email from Grindr on Friday, June 16th. At 12:56 p.m., I notified you, Mr. Chairman, Doug, and Committee Chairman Lisa Ciampoli of Finance Committee, and Mr. Holliday, Health Department Committee, on Monday in an email, June 12th, that Grindr had canceled it, primarily because of the deadline, basically. So, in effect, then, there is nothing for you all to vote on and approve that purchase request. That proposal no longer exists.
We do have some questions from the county board members. Yes, Mr. Chapman.
Yes, so in other words, was it members of the administration did not act in a timely fashion to bring this forward? Is that why it failed, or what happened here? Why didn't the time constraints get taken care of?
I'd like to make a motion to table this and send it back to committee for further discussion.
Well, I think it's done, Mr. Parkinson. I'm just trying to figure out why it's DOA. I'm not saying I will vote for it or against it, but apparently we're not even going to get to look at it, which causes me some concern. That's all.
I'll second Mr. Parkinson's motion.
There's not a resolution. You can't table something that's not on the floor.
That's right. That's exactly right, Mr. Michael. And I think this is an opportunity for the county board members to ask any questions about this expenditure.
Well, I was just wondering, my question is,
there has been expenditures with this organization in the past. Is that Ms. Crona?
And
Ms., one other question. Has the county board approved those expenditures?
Is that necessary? The purchase was below the threshold of $5,000. We were within the
rights
of the purchase.
Mr. Asadorian.
Yes. Was there federal grants that paid for that?
Yes.
So really, there was no cost to the county, correct?
None.
Right.
But I will point out, Mr. Asadorian, even though this is grant money, the county
or in the past, without the county board approval, Ms. Corona has made decisions on how this money is to be spent, correct?
No, sir. I've done everything in accordance to the purchasing ordinance.
Yeah. If it's under a certain amount, you don't need to...
But the county has the ability to determine where they spend this money, correct? The federal government is not mandating that you spend this money with Grindr. Is that correct, Ms. Corona?
Well, I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Parkinson.
In everything that we spend, if it's under $5,000, that stuff doesn't come toward the board. Why are we singling this issue out?
No, this was for more than $5,000, and that's why it was approved by the health committee.
It's
Ms. Ciampoli.
But it's not up for discussion.
It was approved.
But it was removed.
It was on this agenda, and
but it's not anymore.
Unfortunately, Ms. Corona took it upon herself to remove it from the agenda, which is not appropriate.
It's not an issue anymore.
But it was approved by the health committee 4-1, Mr. Holliday. Is that correct?
And since that time, it's been taken off the list.
Taken off by Grindr, not by Ms. Corona, is the way I'm understanding.
So I don't even know why we're talking about it. It's not on the agenda anymore.
It was on the county board agenda when your packet, if you look at your packet that you received in the mail, it was on the agenda.
Isn't it quite common to take things off the agenda?
One moment. Anytime, purchasing orders usually never come through the county board. They go through the committee and then to finance. At that point, it was tabled, and we went to the health department. We did vote on it. But then it was pulled by Grindr because of the time constraint. So therefore, this is a moot issue, and I don't understand why we're bringing it up unless you have a problem with it, sir.
What I'm saying is that the health department passed it 4-1,
yes.
And it was on the agenda, and Ms. Corona took it upon herself to take it off the agenda, which is not appropriate.
So I want to be clear. So if something's taken off for future use, if something is removed from the agenda, we can discuss it in here.
Yeah.
I want that clarified for future use.
In my mind, this should have been on this evening's agenda.
But it's not.
We don't need it anymore.
In the future,
if you want to make the agenda a political issue, it's gone.
Are we not allowed to talk about something if it's not on the agenda either?
Mr. Michael, go ahead.
Can I have a legal opinion? If it's not, are we not allowed to talk about anything that's not on the agenda? Is that accurate?
The board can talk about any issue in new business, about old business.
Unless you're ruled out of order, ask me.
Well, I think that's one of the issues that I think is important to note, that it was on the agenda, which is set by me. But Ms. Corona took it upon herself to go to the county clerk's office and take it off the agenda. Yes, Mr.
But you also had that, Kurt.
She didn't take it upon herself. It was canceled by Grindr because we didn't meet the qualifications of okaying
it. Did Grindr call the county clerk?
Grindr
did not take it off the agenda.
And you got Grindr information,
did not take
Kurt.
Mr. Presley, would you like to speak to this?
Grindr did not take this information off. About this Monday. You got the information Monday.
Sounds to me like it's turned into a witch hunt for Ms. Corona's job.
You got the information Monday that this year was not going to be on there. You received that, did you not?
I discovered this afternoon that it was not on the agenda. Mr. Walters?
Did you not get that information Monday?
No.
It was an email sent.
Mr. Chairman, thanks. Whether we talk about this is irrelevant, but if it's not on the agenda, why are people asking that we table it?
I don't know why we're talking about it.
People should know that you can't table something that's not on the agenda.
I'm ready for adjournment myself.
Then I make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Any discussion?
Wait. The health department committee needs to...
Motion to approve the...
We need a
motion to approve
my
report.
Motion for adjournment.
Second.
We need a motion to approve the March 15th.
Motion to approve the health
department.
Second.
Yes. We have a motion and a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now
motion
entertain
to adjourn.
A motion. Motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?